Philippians chapter number 1, look at verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay? This is a letter that Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. Okay? And not only are you going to see from some of the things that Paul mentions, essentially is his prayer to God for the Philippians. But you also see some requests that are in there, and then he points out a couple things regarding the people, the brethren in the church in Philippi that he speaks about here. All of those things together, not only his prayer for them and what he sees in them, all of that, as we see it, are marks of a mature Christian, okay? And that's what we want to see. If all of us want to grow in the Lord, okay? Each and every one of us are in a different spiritual level. And what we should be doing is growing. We shouldn't just stay where we are. And we certainly don't want to retreat or go back, okay? I heard a person say one time, if we're just staying where we're at, really, we're backsliding, okay? But really, what we should be doing is moving forward, okay? That's what we should be doing. All right, so let's take a look at some of these characteristics of a mature Christian. And the first thing we notice is that a mature Christian, according to verse number 3, is thankful for other Christians. Okay, look at it there in verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. All right? Paul was thanking God for the brethren that were there in Philippi. Have you ever thanked God for the brothers and sisters that are in your life? I have. I don't think I do it as often as I should, but even as I was preparing for this, I thought, you know, I have a lot to grow in this area too, that I'm thankful that I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can call at any time. And they'll answer the phone and they'll help me with whatever I need. Okay? Now, there's other people that you can call that are not believers. You can do that. But there's something about calling another believer and knowing that he's there or she's there to help you out. And it's such an encouragement to all of us. And Paul, listen, at this time, he wasn't the only Christian that was there at this time. There was other believers around. And specifically, in this church in Philippi, and Paul was thankful for them, okay? Now, one of the things that's worthy to point here is that these believers were also living for Christ and they were sharing Christ just like the Apostle Paul was. Now, why is that important? Well, it's good to know that there's other brothers and sisters in Christ that are also doing the same thing that God commanded us to do. It's encouraging. And you ought to thank God for those people. Paul said this, you don't have to turn there, but in Colossians 1:12, writing to the church in Colossae, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He was thanking God for the brethren that were there. In Ephesians 5:20, you don't have to turn there, but he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Well, you know what that includes? That includes other Christians. If we're going to thank God for everything, okay? Paul was thankful for other Christians. Today, we have a large family of believers. It's amazing to me how we can travel halfway around the world and go and ask some people around there, and immediately we can find believers, fellow believers like us in Christ, and immediately we have a bond, and immediately we have a fellowship, and with time you can even develop a relationship with these people just like that. And we ought to thank God for that. They're not just here. Christians are all over the world. You know, I'm thankful for that because these are the brethren that we count on and that we rely on for help. I can remember a time driving back from Houston, Rowena and I, and we had just bought a vehicle, and she was pregnant with our firstborn, Keziah. And I remember we got pulled over in Driscoll. I know. And the officer said, well, we're going to have to take the vehicle. And we're going to drop you off at the corner store. And I said, okay, that's fine. We'll discuss that later. That's not my concern right now. My concern is that I have a pregnant wife. What am I going to do? And I picked up the phone. It was already late. It was like 10-something. And it was a Saturday. And I thought to myself, who am I going to call? I picked up the phone and I called a friend that I've known for many years, another brother in Christ. And I said, Paul, I need you to come over here and I need you to pick me up. And he said, I'll be there. And about 10 minutes later, he showed up, dropped us off at the house. And we were thanking God for other brothers in Christ. Okay? And you have a testimony. There's people, there's other brothers and sisters in Christ that have done things for you, and you ought to thank God for them, just like Paul, okay? Never let it go. Never take it for granted. Never think, well, he or she's always going to be there. Maybe, but if they're there and they're doing something for you, thank God for them, okay? Not only for the help that they give you, but for the encouragement that some give you also. You know, have you ever had a time when you're just down? You're just down. There's something that's emotional or spiritual or physical, and you just need someone to call, someone to talk to, somebody text, and there's somebody there. And sometimes all you want to do is just vent. Other times you need some feedback, but regardless, to have somebody there, you ought to thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ that'll encourage you, that'll help you, encourage you, and that'll counsel you, that will pray for you, and that you can have fellowship with. Be thankful for them, okay? In this world, we need and we should rely and value other Christians in our lives, all right? Don't take them for granted. The second thing is this: a mature Christian is thankful for other Christians, but notice there in verse number 4, he prays for other Christians. Always in every prayer of mine for who? For you all, making requests with joy. Paul was praying for the church in Philippi all the time. In other places, he says, pray without ceasing. Always be praying. And aren't you thankful for other Christians that take the time to pray for you? I'll tell you this. Some people have asked me, hey, will you pray for me on this specific matter? And I say, okay. And I go home, I write it on my prayer list, and I pray for them every night. Now, there's others that I forget. You got to remind me, just like you, right? But I go and I take it and I pray for them, and then a month later, something just comes up, and I'll tell them, hey, I've been praying for you. And they kind of get like, what? You've been praying for me for that? They almost kind of like seem to have forgotten or maybe gone through whatever they were going through or getting past that thing, whatever it was. And they're kind of surprised. Well, they were thankful that somebody was praying for them. I received a text message 2 days ago from a person in Corpus Christi, a fellow brother in Christ, and he said, "I'm praying for you and for your family and the people that you're ministering to every day." Amen. You know how I felt? It's humbling to know that somebody's taking the time to pray for me. Do we deserve it? No. But is that how we help each other? Yes. And he was doing that for me. And I'll tell you what, that's the mark of a mature Christian, that he prays for others, okay? Not just, oftentimes we'll tell somebody, would you pray for me? And then we get a list together and we'll say, okay, and pray for so-and-so and for so-and-so and for so-and-so and help so-and-so and helps and help them all. Amen. But what if we took the time to really treat it as if it was our own prayer request? It opens our eyes. Paul had a great care and concern for the brethren personally. And he was praying for that. Not only was he praying for them, he was praying for the church in Ephesus and for the church in Colossae and for the church in Thessalonica. In Ephesians 1:16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Man, you think it didn't encourage the church in Ephesus? Absolutely. To know that Paul, the great Christian, was praying for them. Not only that, in Colossians 1:3, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Man, what a testimony. Now, I can't tell that to certain people because it's not true. I'm not always praying for them. Okay? I have a list and I have many of your names in there and I do pray for you, but I don't pray for you daily, and to my shame, but I try to, and I'm working on it, and I want you to know that, okay? All right? And not only that, Paul says to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." What a blessing and comfort to know that other Christians are praying for you specifically and by name and for the request that you have. It's a big deal, okay? And that is what Paul was doing, okay? All right, so Paul was thanking God for other Christians and he was praying for other Christians. And then he was also doing this in verse number 4. He was making his request with joy. Look at verse 4. "Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request," how? "With joy." Paul was making requests to God with joy. Now, do you realize that joy is not something that the world gives? The world gives happiness. And it only lasts for a while. And happiness is based on circumstances. If things are going good, you feel happy. If things aren't going good, you don't feel so happy. And it's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down, and it goes up and down. But not joy. Joy is from God. And I want you to notice a couple things regarding joy. Keep your place here, but go to Galatians chapter number 5. Okay, so go in reverse. Go past Ephesians and look at Galatians chapter number 5. Regardless of the fact that Paul had a mutual relationship with the church in Philippi, which seemed to be a good one, which hey, who doesn't want to have a good relationship with somebody? That makes you take your request before God with joy when you have a good relationship with someone. But joy is not based on that. Even when the relationship is not that great, you still go to God with your request with joy. Why? Why? Well, because joy is from God. Okay? Look at Galatians chapter number 5 And look at verse number 22. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says, but the fruit, all right, this is a singular fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next word?
Joy.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Nine things. Nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit manifested in nine different aspects or characteristics, okay? And the second one on the list is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Okay, so that tells us that if the Holy Spirit of God is in you and it's the fruit of the Spirit, then the only way that you can manifest joy is through the Spirit of God in you. Okay? So people that are lost don't have joy. They have happiness, but they don't have the joy of God. Okay? So when Paul says that he was making request with joy, you got to know it was from God. Okay? And not only is it from God, but joy is in God. Not only from God, but in God. Go to Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. So keep going back and you'll get to Romans chapter number 14. And let's look at verse number 17. Romans chapter number 14. All right, and look at verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. All right, so the joy is found in the Holy Ghost. And so the way that a believer can experience joy in this life is if you are walking in the Spirit. And Paul makes mention in another place, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, it's a fight. He says, and the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's a fight. But regardless, if we want to have joy, you got to walk in the Spirit. Okay? You're not, you can walk in the world and in the flesh, and you're not going to have much joy. You see the connection there? Okay. All right. So not only is joy found, joy is from God and it is in God, but I want you to notice one more thing. It's not dependent on anything else. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. All right. So go to the right. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 6. Second Corinthians, chapter number 6. All right, Second Corinthians, chapter number 6. This is Paul speaking also. Look at what it says in verse number 5. In stripes, that means when they whipped them, okay? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. He continues on. Look at verse number 9. All the things that Paul went through. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. And then notice this. As sorrowful yet always what?
Rejoicing.
Yet always rejoicing. Wait, what? I mean, come on now. as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing? You know how that's possible in this world? If you're walking in the Spirit. It's from God and you're walking in the Spirit. Guess what? Circumstances don't affect the joy. You can be in sorrows, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That goes contrary to what this world says. Why? Because with the happiness of the world, one day you're up, and the next day you're down, and you're up, and you're down, and somebody's birthday, and you're up, and somebody had a bad day, and you're down. Not with joy. Okay? Joy is not dependent on anything else. That you can be sorrowful and at the same time rejoicing. You know what that is? It's supernatural. It's not of this world. Okay? All right, so Paul, as a mature Christian, we see that he was thankful for other Christians, that he was praying for other Christians, that he was making his request with joy, which, by the way, I forgot to mention this, but in John chapter number 15 and verse number 11, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That's what he wants from us. He wants our joy to always be full. I mean, what a sad reality that oftentimes we're running on empty with our joy. Well, how do we get more of it? Walk in the Spirit. And you fill that tank up with joy, okay? All right. And he, by the way, Jesus Christ already gave us that joy. We just gotta work on it, okay? Walk with him, all right? And then the next thing is this, verse number 5, back in Philippians chapter number 1, and verse number 5, the next thing we see here regarding a mature Christian or the prayer that Paul prayed was that we have to have fellowship in the gospel, okay? A mature Christian finds fellowship in the gospel. Look at verse number 5. "For your fellowship in the gospel from when? From the first day until now." You know, we're talking about this is something that began with the church in Philippi about 10 years before. And Paul was already working with them. Now, at this point, if you notice, when Paul's writing in verse number 1, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the what? With the bishops and deacons." So when Paul's writing to the church, it was already an established church, and they already had pastors and deacons there. But yet the relationship between Paul and the church in Philippi was so special and so good that when we get to this, he says, you want to have fellowship in the gospel. Okay? Well, what does that mean? The gospel of Jesus Christ is essentially what bonds the believer together and causes them to enjoy fellowship with one another. Remember what I told you before, that you can go halfway around the world and you can go and find another Christian somewhere? You know what it is? It's fellowship in the gospel. Because he was already a partaker of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were a partaker of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the Holy Spirit is in you, and now you have something in common. You may not know anything about their family or their background, but immediately you have something, and it's a bond, and it's Jesus Christ in us, okay? And it's that fellowship in the gospel to instantaneously have a fellowship and a relationship. Well, that's really good. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." We have fellowship one with another. And that's what he wants. And it is the fellowship in the gospel. Well, what's the reason for that? Well, there's two reasons, okay, regarding this fellowship of the gospel. The first one, I just mentioned it, we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. According to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, the gospel, what Paul says, how that Christ died for our sins, how that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Okay, now where is Jesus Christ now? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us. Okay, that's where he's at. And because of that, we no longer have to face death. Jesus Christ already conquered death. Immediately, we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ when we die. And you know what? That's fellowship in the gospel. We don't have that with an unbeliever. Why? Because they're still in their sins. And there is no fellowship there. But we have fellowship in the gospel and what Jesus Christ did. And the second thing, because we have Jesus Christ as our faith. And a lot of people put their faith in Jesus Christ. It is by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, we put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, but then through our Christian life, we don't have that much faith. But what happened? We should have our faith in him. So the second thing is, not only do we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we have Jesus Christ as our faith. Go to Galatians 2:20. You're in Ephesians, go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. I want you to notice this in verse number 20. The fellowship that we have in the gospel is because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and because we have Jesus Christ as our faith. Okay? Notice, this is what Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Okay? Which, by the way, this is all of us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who? But Christ liveth in me. Notice this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how you and I should live. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, left to myself, I don't have much faith. I don't have much faith in myself or much confidence. But you know who I have faith in? It's in Jesus Christ. That he's able to do exceedingly abundant above anything that we ask or think. That's him. You know, when we think, we put a lot of times, we put Jesus Christ in a box. And he can only do this much. No, he's greater than that. He's outside the box and he created the box. He's nowhere near the box. He's greater than anything. And we should have that much faith in him. Okay? And when Paul says, when he was praying for your fellowship in the gospel, well, that's because he understood that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our faith. And we should understand that too. All right, then let's go back to Philippians chapter number 1 and now look at verse number 6. The next thing we want to see here regarding a mature Christian is that he has confidence in God. Okay? Verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul had his confidence in someone, but you know what? It wasn't himself. It wasn't him. And you and I shouldn't have our confidence in ourselves. And oftentimes we put our confidence or we have confidence in ourselves because we've been through a situation and we've gotten through it and it gives us confidence. Well, but we got to remember that God's the one that did it. It wasn't us, okay? And Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. You know who began that work? That was Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, he began a good work in all of us, okay? And we can be confident in that. This work that was begun by God, notice, is a good work. And it's a good work that transforms the life of a believer from the inside out. I've told you before, but people want to change from the outside in. I guess it's not necessarily a bad thing that you want to stop drinking and you want to stop smoking and you want to stop doing whatever. Whatever you're doing doesn't make a difference. And we want to do it from the outside in. You know what we need to do? If Christ is living in us, we got to let Jesus Christ change us from the inside out. And I mentioned just those sins. I'm not going to keep going. I mean, we can talk about lying and cheaters, deceivers, and all those things. I mean, surely I'm going to hit one of them that you're dealing with or that I'm dealing with. But the sin doesn't make the difference. What makes the difference is who can change us, and that's Jesus Christ. And listen, he began a good work in you. man, the believer, this new work that begins on the inside when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life. Now he goes in there, and the Holy Spirit of God begins to change some things. And it begins to tell you in a ever so soft voice, you need to stop that. Don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't act that way. And I'll give you an example. Today, one of my coworkers, we were doing something in the office, and he sends out a text message, and he says, I already did this. And I just wanted you all to know. And it was three of us in the group, and I decided not to respond because I said, well, I'll see him when he gets back to the office. And he got back to the office and he said, did you get my text? And I said, yes. And he said, and you weren't going to respond? And I said, well, not yet. I was waiting. And he's like, whatever. And you know what came inside of me? Well, I'll show you. Let me show you. You talk to me like that again. But guess what? I got to let the Spirit of God say, Lord, I'm going to get in some trouble if I act in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It always gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Okay, well, whatever you want, Christ. And we let him. He started a good work. Well, let him keep working in you. Okay? Don't take a big giant step back because we succumb to... Listen, you've heard it before. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. So it's not my coworker, and I'm sure tomorrow he's going to be just fine with a smile. And so am I, because I'm over it now. Okay? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he starts a good work in us. Okay? This is we're in the next point, being confident of this very thing. All right, so here's the thing. The believer begins to live a life of righteousness when the Holy Spirit of God comes in. In other words, we look at bad things and we say, I don't want to do that anymore. Why? Because he's working in us. And he begins a life of purity. Okay? And there's some things we shouldn't be watching with our eyes or listening with our ears or touching or whatever, okay? And it begins a life of holiness. You know what holiness is? Is being set apart unto God from the world. And he begins to do that. He started that work in us, and he wants to continue it. You know what we need to do is we need to cooperate with him. Allow him to do what he wants to do. And he begins a work of love. You know, we just saw it, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know, he comes in here and he wants to manifest it. Well, before I didn't love a person so much, but now because Christ is in me and he started that work in me, he's going to show me how to love somebody else. And before I didn't have much patience with so-and-so, but God gave me that patience and he works in you. And he gives you that peace. Well, before you didn't have much of it, well, God's working in you. All of those things, peace, faith, humility, he gives us control. Where before we were without control, and God controls us. He says these are the parameters. That's a good work that he began in you. Okay? Let's look at one verse here, and then we'll move on. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. So go to the right, find the T's. You find Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus. 2 Timothy 1. And look at verse number 12. Regarding this confidence in God, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what day that is? He's going to this work that he started in you, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and he takes us all back to heaven with him. It's the day of Jesus Christ. And then there's other things that are going to happen, but I'm waiting. Are you waiting? Waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and take us with him, to take the church? Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's the day of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have heard that hymn that goes with this verse? And I know whom I have believed in. And I don't know the rest. But it talks about this. We got to be sure of this thing. And he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Jesus Christ. Okay? All right. You better be confident in that. Paul was confident in it. You and I should be confident in that too. All right. Then the next thing is this. Two more things and we're done. Look at verse number 9. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. A mature Christian has a love for other Christians. Amen. Philippians 1:9, notice, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, the church in Philippi, the people in Philippi loved Paul. And he said, this is what I'm praying, that your love may abound more and more, that it keeps growing and that it keeps happening. Well, what an example for you and me. The Philippians were sympathizing with Paul while he was imprisoned. Look right there in verse number 7. It says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul's in prison and he's thinking about all the things that those people in the church in Philippi were doing for him. And he was thankful for that. And the love that they were giving him and showing him. Well, that's a good thing. Paul had the Philippians in his heart, as we saw there in verse number 7. And essentially, what he was experiencing, the church in Philippi was experiencing. Because he says, I have you in my heart. And you better know that he was hearing some things that were happening in the church in Philippi, and they were hearing some things about Paul and while he was in jail. And he says, I have you in my heart. And it's like you're not there physically, but you're there in spirit. And you feel what that person is going through. And you can just imagine that they felt for Paul being in prison. And that made that love for each other even greater. The Bible says, and you know what the proof of their love is? Go to Galatians chapter number 6. All right, so go back. Go to Galatians chapter number 6. And look at verse number 2. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, that's what the church in Philippi was doing for him. They were bearing each other's burdens, and notice, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why? Because this is something that Christ wants us to do for one another. And when we do that, our love for each other grows. Also, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans 15, 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Like I said before, at any given time, we are in a higher spiritual level, and we ought to help those that have a need when they have the need. Okay? Instead of just being focused on ourselves. Okay? And the last thing is this, in verse number 11, Philippians chapter number 1, in verse number 11, the last thing regarding Paul's prayer or a mature Christian is this. He or she is filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay? Look at verse number 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? By Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Okay? Which are by Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean that if my fruit is unrighteous, where does that come from? Not from him. It comes from the flesh, or it comes from the devil, or it comes from somewhere else. But it doesn't come from the fruits of Jesus Christ. And what we want to do, notice, be filled. He doesn't just want us to have a little bit of fruit here and there that's of righteousness. He says, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Okay? That means all the time. You know, something that's full is something that you can't put anything more in there. Okay? Every believer should always be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Are you filled? Well, that's for all of us to figure that out, okay? Now, I want you to notice, okay, so if we're supposed to be full of these fruits, the fruits of righteousness, how do we do that? Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. The way to be filled with the fruits of righteousness is by doing this. Matthew chapter number 5, and look at verse number 6. Okay? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? After righteousness, for they shall be what? For they shall be filled. All right? Paul said, hey, you need to be full of the fruits of righteousness. Well, how do you do it? Well, you got to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and then you shall be filled. Well, that means that even when we don't want to do right, we need to do right, okay? And we all face that time during the day, or once a week, or once a day, or once an hour for some of us. You're filled, you encounter a situation where you're either going to treat somebody with righteousness or unrighteousness. Well, if you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you'll be filled. Which is obvious, we shouldn't be hungering and thirsting for unrighteousness. Okay? It's out there. But if you thirst and hunger after that, guess what you're going to be filled with? Unrighteousness, okay? And when we do that, when we are full with the fruits of righteousness, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness and we're full, we're filled with it, then God, we are accepted with God. That's what it says in Acts 10:35. You don't have to turn there. But notice, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a person that is walking in righteousness. And we're blessed by God. Not only do you see it there, blessed are they. Okay. Not only will you be blessed, but it also says it in Psalm 5:12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him with a shield. God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless me, but he blesses righteousness, not unrighteousness. And Paul said, this is what I'm praying for, that you and I would be full of the fruits of righteousness. And that's my prayer for us too, okay? That you and I would do what Paul said here, that we would be thankful for other Christians. You have other Christians that you should be thankful for, but you haven't, and now you're like, you know what? I am going to be thankful for them. And that we should pray for other Christians. Hey, somebody's praying for me, and somebody's praying for you. You ought to return it to somebody else and pray for them also. Everybody, listen, everybody in this room and every single Christian has a need. And we need prayer from others, okay? And Paul said that he was praying for them. And then you ought to make requests with joy. And the way you're full of joy, as we said, is when you walk in the Spirit of God. Okay? And then we need to have fellowship in the gospel. Find other Christians and other believers that you can associate with because of your fellowship in the gospel. Now, there's unbelievers that are out there, but we should fellowship with them to the extent of wanting to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And then we need to find fellowship in the gospel. That's because Jesus Christ is our Savior and he is our faith. Amen. And then we need to have confidence in God. Don't put your confidence in the world. Don't put your confidence in man. Put your confidence in God. Amen. Okay? And you and I should love other Christians. Sometimes it's difficult to do, but when you ask God to help you, he'll help you. Okay? And we'll be able to love others the way we love even our own family. And then lastly, we need to be full with the fruits of righteousness. That's what God blesses. He blesses somebody that's walking in righteousness and filled with the fruit of righteousness. So let's do it God's way and not our way. Amen?